I could give you the right words. But if inside you're like, you can say, I'm sorry. But if inside you're feeling lots of judgment for him being upset about what you did, then those words aren't going to help because he energetically feels what you're feeling.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep Meaningful Conversations, powered by Town Appliance.
Alex and I wear a lot of hats.
We're both writers.
And speakers.
And so many other things, mothers, wives, friends, and active community members.
We love using our skill sets to bring you the best guests to share their wisdom, perspective, and advice on relevant topics.
And we love schmoozing about the topics that are on our mind, and hopefully yours too. Like one listener said, DMC is like hanging out with friends for coffee and talking about the stuff we're all thinking about.
So whatever you're doing while listening to our podcast, thanks for joining us for a DMC. If you have listened to DMZ before, you know that Town Appliance is our 2023 sponsor. We are so grateful. And we got this email from a listener named Dina about Town Appliance, and we knew that we just had to share it with you. And so I'm just quoting the email here. I wanted to give another shout out to Town Appliance. When I first got married, my friend convinced me to buy a standalone tall freezer. She knows I like to cook in bulk and freeze. I finally got around to calling Town Appliance after convincing myself that the purchase price was worth it. The sales lady was so sweet, helping me figure out the right size I should get, etc. And then she said something that blew my mind. She told me that they were having their annual sale in a couple of months, and if I could hold off from purchasing this freezer now, I should call back in 2 months and save $200. I was, and still am, literally blown away. And after finally ordering it, they shipped it free of charge from Lakewood to my apartment in Woodmere, New York. I hope with publicizing this story, more people will want to patronize such an incredible business. What an email. I love that. Mm-hmm. So think Town Appliance the next time you're in a market for a home appliance. Check out our show notes for everything you need to know about Town Appliance.
We're so excited about sharing this awesome episode sponsor with you. So camp is coming. Mm-hmm. Camp is coming?
It is very much coming.
The question is, do you have your kids' labels? So Labeland is here to the rescue. You can label more and stress less.
Oh, I love that.
If you don't have your labels, it's okay. It's okay because orders ship next business day if you're running a little behind. For close to 20 years, Labeland has been creating labels that stick to your stuff for life. Their labels are made with the toughest yet softest materials and are peel-proof, rip-proof, and laundry-safe. They're perfect for everything that's going in the duffel for camp, but they're also super helpful for home organizing. One of my favorite Labeland products is the color-coded dots for each family member's clothing items. You can get them iron-on or peel and stick. These are a lifesaver if you have a few kids wearing similar size clothes.
Absolutely. This is my boy's pants right here.
Labeland labels are ideal for home, school, camp, and daycare. So visit labeland.com to start your order. We have a coupon code for our listeners. It's DMC. You get 10% off all products besides value packs until July 26. You'll find all this information in our show notes.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of DMC. As you can hopefully see, while we do try to offer a nice variety on the podcast in terms of episodes, like different types of topics that we hope resonate with the majority of our listeners, there are some topics that we have returned to, sometimes a few times even.
Right. And the truth is, like, so many of our topics are about things that we want to learn about ourselves.
Yes, true. It is a big perk about podcasting that we have mentioned before here at DMC. We get a lot of feedback from women that they'd like to hear more episodes about marriage and parenting. It's like our two biggest requests. One of the things that I love about podcasts is that it provides women an opportunity to gain practical insight and information that can impact their daily lives. So these topics are very relevant.
Mm-hmm. And we decided we wanted to devote this episode to marriage. So we are DMCing with a very special person. Her name is Rivki Gardner. Rivki is a quote-unquote marriage mentor for mentors, as well as a marriage coach for everybody. And what I love about her is she's really open about her own journey to how she got into this field. She went on her own quest to improve her marriage after she realized as a newlywed that, you know, the little tools that she had to quote-unquote perfect her marriage, which she thought she was trying to do, make everything perfect, wasn't working. So Rivki knew that, you know, she wanted her marriage to be deeply connected and supportive, passionate and fulfilling. And for the last 18 years, she's learned everything she could about marriage success and now has a full-time coaching business. She offers a variety of programs and training courses. And we want you to know about her and utilize her resources. So we will link her website in our show notes.
Yeah, I love it. Something that I really appreciate about Rivke is how she took her personal growth, like her own personal growth in the context of her own marriage, and she wanted to share what she had learned with other women. Like it didn't just stop with her. So I really admire that. And both Alex and I have gained from Rivke's wisdom. One of the things that I've learned that has really stayed with me over the years is a concept that, like, even when I disagree with the way that my husband is doing something, like, for instance, bedtime or homework or anything where I'm like, no, I know the right way to do it and you're doing it wrong. Like, it's wrong. It's going to lead to disaster. You know, I'm really good at catastrophizing. So whenever I would, like, see something that I'm like, it's wrong, like, something that Rivke had taught me was that, like, well, Hashem gave my husband to my children for a father. Like, that wasn't an accident. And they need his parenting as much as they need my parenting. They don't need two of me. They need him and they need me.
Love that.
So, like, it really helped just kind of, like, take the charge out of, like, whenever I'd be like, it's wrong. I'd be like, no, this is what my kids need also. Like, you know.
That's great.
It really helped.
Wow. There's such this intersection between marriage and parenting, oh my right?
gosh. Well, I think there's a lot of Shalom biased issues come through disagreeing about how to handle kids.
Absolutely.
Stuff. And raising kids can be hard and it can be stressful for anyone who's, you know, familiar with that kind of stress.
Yeah. So I guess for me, I really appreciate about Rivke. She's such a creative thinker. She's a deep thinker. And it just, you'll hear it during this interview, but she really brings those qualities to her coaching. During Zoom, we had the Chizuk mission had a Zoom with her, a Zoom call during COVID, I meant to say, during Zoom. Isn't that funny?
That's
because COVID is Zoom.
It is. They're during synonymous. Zoom. During Zoom. I knew exactly what you meant.
You know what I'm talking
I knew
about.
Exactly what you meant.
God. Anyway, so she has one of the techniques that she uses, which she'll discuss, is this like workshop type of model, which is so cool. I'll tell you why. Because you're with other women and you're thinking, I'm not going to open my mouth because there's no way, right? I'm going to share with this person or my neighbor down the street, whatever challenge I'm having.
Yeah.
Somehow she navigates it that she teaches you the tools and then she has, and I'm sure she has a name for it, which I don't know, but then she has like the work part because I know she talks about work. And then we like discuss it and somehow it's not like, vulnerable. I don't know how she strikes the balance, but like people are somehow sharing, but it feels super safe and it's not like too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like we're asking questions about how do you utilize this tool in this situation? But I don't know. It just works.
Yeah.
It's like you don't feel like people are oversharing. There's just a way she does it so brilliantly. And then you walk away. You're not just like receiving information. You actually feel like you're doing the work.
Yeah.
Like it's really an amazing experience. I highly recommended it. Anyway, she did this whole thing with us about receiving. Sometimes it takes a certain level of humility and vulnerability to be a receiver.
Yeah.
And as that's one of the qualities that we have as a woman is that we're receiving. And, it's this acknowledgement of the husband as a provider. Rivke will share this more in detail. I'm not going to give it away. And us as a receiver. And she gave us this chart that we had to fill out. Each day of the week, notice what your husband is already giving you and figure out what it provides for you. And it's Sunday through Shabbos. And to do that work and write this list, to see what you're getting and then also acknowledge how that makes you feel, it's just, it's great stuff. Like it's really transformative. And that's the word that she uses with the coaching is it really can make a difference. So that was my experience.
And I feel like anyone can do this, like in the sense of like, it doesn't have to be like a, you know, like with date night, which is the thing that gets bandied about a lot, but it's so impossible for so many couples to actually do a date night, but you can keep track of this. This is something that is accessible to everyone.
Right. And he doesn't need to know, but it will make you, your feelings towards your spouse different.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, if you can't tell, we are really excited to bring Rivke's insight and perspective to you all. So let's get this DMZ started. Rivke, we are super excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Yay. I'm really excited.
So let's tell us a little bit how you got into this field of marriage coaching. Like, where did it all begin?
Okay, so I guess it began about around 20 years ago when I got married. And I was very committed to being the perfect wife, having the perfect marriage. And I thought that would be really easy.
Well, you're a capable woman.
Yeah. I mean, I went to all the right schools. I came from a good family. My husband was, you know, a good guy. And I just thought, you know, that would, everything would just fall into place. Mm. So as I started my marriage and I discovered how different me and my husband were, which I guess continues when, you know, just a few days ago when I realized I wanted all the windows open, he wanted them shut and the air conditioning on, you know, so all those little things that just were so different and some of the big things that were very different, I realized I was totally failing at this idea of being the perfect wife, sort of everything that I heard. You know, respect your husband. It's the most important thing for a man. Well, I thought I knew how to do everything the right way and he knew how to do everything the wrong way. I was the one who was taking all the parenting classes. He wasn't. I knew how to spend money. He didn't. So that whole idea of like, I can act respectful, but I didn't feel very respectful inside. Yeah. So wasn't doing very well with that. I sort of wanted to be the perfect wife and take care of everything so that he could just sit and learn, which is what he was doing. And in that process, I was taking care of everything and I was getting overwhelmed and I think resentful and also feeling like my husband was just another person to take care of. Mm. And my marriage was another burden on top of me. And that I was like, that it's not supposed to feel that way. This isn't what marriage is supposed to be about. I've got something wrong, but I didn't really know how to find my way out because I think I was reading all the books and listening to all the advice and it still didn't feel right.
About how long had you been married at this point?
So I would say this was going on for the first few years. Like, you know, maybe, I mean, it started right at the beginning, but 2, 3, 4 years, you know, I'd sort of been feeling like, I don't know, what's going on here? What's going wrong?
Yeah.
And I really just started searching and researching. And I'm a seeker. I always want to find out what is, you know, what's the truth? What's deeper? What's underneath this? And I started just taking courses, learning, you know, going, reading whatever I could get my hands on, experimenting. And really from there, I've spent the last really 18 years just trying to figure out what makes marriages work in their best way.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Now you've turned this into a business.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, like, how did you know that you wanted to make this into like a full-time pursuit? You know, what was that transition like? Like, what's that moment where you're like, oh, wait, this, I can make this bigger than what it is?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I think it was just over the years in all my self-development and I kept getting closer and closer to myself and my inner truth and my calling and my mission. Like, and as I was doing all my own work and seeing how amazing it was for myself and sharing it with friends, I knew that this is what I was here to do.
Wow.
And I wanted to be able to share this with as many women as possible. And so I started by just having a small group around my dining room table and sharing some of this information. I trained as a life coach with Dina Friedman and started running small groups. And my goal with these small groups was really to give women experiences, not just teaching and knowledge. So I didn't want them just to hear information because I had found throughout all the years of myself doing work, nothing really changes just from hearing information in your head. So I wanted them to have experiences. So I developed this system where I would teach them information, but then we would actually sit down and use the tools and do the work and really sort things through together and take things home, experiment with them, be able to come back and report. And I saw such huge success in running these groups. And this, at the same time that I was doing this, I was a speech therapist working in the public schools, which was not my calling, but was a very practical way of bringing in Parnassa. And so I started running these groups and just as I saw how effective and amazing they were, it just kept going to the next level where I got to the point where I had to be very brave and courageous and leave my steady income and go out and decide that I want to really be able to help as many women as possible and opened a private coaching practice where I was able to do this one-on-one with people and continue to run groups and train mentors and all other, you know, a lot of different things.
It's really, it really is brave.
Yeah.
And I also think your website is just so beautiful and professional. Your emails, like, did you have business coaching in any way or like a mentor that like how, you know, you're making something from just like your own guiding, you know, guiding women to actually this professional or, you know, practice. Like, how did you
coaching and business are two different skills.
Like, yeah.
Right.
So,
right. Because you look like a business. You did it.
Yes. So I'll tell you the truth. The business, I think when I went out, I was very blind to the fact that I would have to be so involved in the business aspect. Mm-hmm. I was so passionate about the teaching, about the coaching, about giving women these experiences, these shifts, helping marriages. I didn't think much about how much work the business piece was going to be. So I did work with someone to help me, you know, a business coach to help me work on the business parts of it. And at the same time, I didn't want to invest huge amounts of money into the business. So I really did do a lot myself. And at the same time, was very conscious that this was the draining part for me and was able to hire just freelancers to do, you know, a girl down the street who could do my graphics for me or someone who I knew who could do bookkeeping. So I actually highly encourage anyone who's going out on a business that's their passion to be able to delegate some of those tasks that aren't the things that are their strengths or that they enjoy doing.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We've had this discussion, Rifki and I, about the podcast.
Indeed. okay, so Rifki, what is your target audience? I guess, who is your target audience? And tell us a little bit about, like, what kind of programs you offer. You mentioned individual coaching and also groups and also coaching mentors. So I want to hear everything about all of that, please.
Okay. So I guess my target audience, I guess it's different for each of those different groups. So let's start with the most general public, which is really women that are in healthy marriages and are still struggling. Because I find so many women, I would actually say most women, who are in healthy marriages, healthy people, both them and their husbands, and they're still having a hard time. And I just feel like, and they still want more, they want deeper connection, they want more from their marriages. So that is the people who I am often, you know, working with, presenting to. If there's mental health challenges, extreme mental health challenges or something like that, it's really that often will need a couples therapist or an individual therapist as opposed to what I have to offer, even though many, many women who have worked with me have gone to a lot of therapy beforehand. So it's not to say that, but that's what I would say. I'm not in generally working with women who are in very abusive situations, things like that. That's not my training. It's women who really want to improve. And when I say struggling, I think what I mean is people that are disappointed, people that are frustrated, people that are lonely, people that are annoyed, people that just, you know, want more in their marriages.
Like theoretically nothing should be wrong, but why am I not feeling the feelings that I want to feel in this relationship? Why is it not really working, even though there's nothing objectively that should be preventing it from working?
Right. Or it's working, but it's not working to the level that I want it to be. Like, I, you know, it's not even people that are necessarily in huge conflict all the time. Or like, it, you know, often I'll have women say to me, you know, I just feel like we're two people running a business together. That's, I think, one of the most common refrains is like, we're managing this family. We're taking care of the kids. We're taking care of the money. But where is that feeling of connection between us? And that's what women are really looking for.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, what do you think is the root reason why so many women are experiencing that?
So that's a great question. I think that women often don't have the perspectives and the tools and the knowledge of just the basics of what actually the way Hashem set up marriages to work. So many women, like when we talk about dynamic of a husband being a provider. And I don't just mean a provider, meaning a monetary provider. I mean being the one who he gets his fulfillment from, really taking care of and ensuring the well-being of other people, and the wife being a receiver and being open to receive that from him. I mean, our society has that all skewed and turned upside down, and we have all these women who are super women and their husbands are superfluous, and you know, so that's, I think that's one piece. I think just not knowing, there are actually things that bring out the best in our husbands and the worst in our husbands, and often we're just trying to get our own needs met. Mm. So we're doing that in a way that is counterproductive.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
And what do you think about the time issues? So just like, so often we are just managing the children, and like, how much quality time are we spending together?
Yeah, I think it's a big piece. But my focus happens to be much more on the internal processes of people that then lead to external action, as opposed to, I don't go so much with the like, oh, if you would just take a date night, everything would be okay. I don't go with that, because I feel like if there's all this judgment or irritation or resentment, it's going to come with us on the date night.
Right.
So I think it is a piece, but I don't think it's the only piece.
And okay, so you're talking about all this internal work that we need to be doing. Interesting. Okay, yeah, so let's get a little bit more into that. Yeah.
Oh, wait. But first, should I tell you about the other
programs? Yes.
Okay. Yes. Fine. So in terms of, so that's my target audience. And for those people, I offer something called the Marriage Transformation Program, which is a 6 to 8 week program. It varies at different times of the year how exactly I present it, where I am able to share with them a lot of these ideas, tools, perspectives, and take them through actually a group coaching experience of being able to work the tools, watch other people work the tools. And that's that, you know, that's sort of a quick, you know, not as a deep dive, but a way to really get a handle on all these dynamics. And people have seen huge, huge changes and transformation in their marriage from that. So that evolved from around my dining room table to something that now I do on Zoom, and people from all over the world can participate in that. And I'm actually going to be launching my next marriage transformation program through Jewish Workshops. So that's, I'm partnering with them and being able to do it through them to reach a larger audience.
Nice.
And then I run those throughout the year from time to time through, you know, people can sign up. And then I work one-on-one with people who I generally only have a few slots available at a time, just in terms of people rotating, where people who want to just really get a more hand-holding one-on-one coaching, where, you know, they have a program tailor-made to them to really work through whatever issues they're struggling with. And then I do a marriage mentorship training program. So that is for mentors, meaning challah teachers, therapists, rebbetzins, anyone in the helping profession who are working with other women. And the way I got into that was I realized so many women who were coming to me were married for, I don't know, between 10 and 30 years.
Wow.
And I wasn't their first stop. Wow. So they had gone, you know, they had turned to people in their lives for help, and they had gotten good advice, but it just didn't take them where they wanted to go. And I felt like the missing link was they were getting the right messages, but not the how to actually get there.
Huh.
So that idea sort of I mentioned before of, you know, let respect your husband, or let go of judgment. Well, how do I do that? Like, I can pretend that I respect my husband, but how does that happen inside of me?
Yeah.
Or I can try to let go of judgment, or say I want to let go of judgment, but I'm still judging. So I found like I had the tools to help people actually move there internally. And I wanted to share those tools with the mentors so that when they spoke to people, they could sort of be that first line of saying, oh, wait, here there's tons of judgment. Maybe if I, you know, help her move through this, she can get to a better place.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you're really expanding the level of your influence, because then they can share those ideas with their woman. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Okay, so let's pick your brain. You've seen a lot of marriages, a lot of women. What would you say are those like main issues that you're seeing in marriages from the women you work with?
So there's so many different, and everyone varies, but I'll pick a few that I want to share with you. So one of them that I think is very common is that women are so overworked and so overburdened and carrying so much of everything on their own heads. So they're the ones, you know, getting the kids to school, talking to the teachers, doing the day-to-day tasks, and they just really want more involvement from their husbands. Hmm. They want to feel like they're on a team. And their husbands are busy working or busy learning or busy on their phones sometimes, unfortunately. And they are just feeling frustrated and resentful that they're carrying so much, and they want more involvement from their husbands. So I think that's a big one. I think the other thing I see is women just, I don't think I ever said that I work only with the women. Mm-hmm. I don't think we talked about that. So that's a whole nother thing, which is I don't work with the couple.
Yeah.
I work directly with a woman. And as I see her sort of changing internally, her perspectives and the way she's thinking about things and her actions, I see huge changes within the whole marriage.
Wow. That's
so fantastic. So the other thing is I find women who are just annoyed that their husbands are the way they are. Like, they just want them to change. It's just like, can he stop spending so much money? Can he stop, you know, can he go to night Seder more often? Can he, you know, spend more time with the family? So it's just a lot of just, I wish my husband was different than the way he is.
Wow.
And I think the last one, which is sort of a different angle, but I do find a lot of women struggling with this, is women feeling good enough for their husbands.
Oh, and what do you mean?
So it's just like women feeling like no matter what I do, I can't make him happy. Mm. It's less common than the other way, but I still find it. Like, I just want to be seen. I want to be appreciated. I want to be loved for who I am. I just want to feel like he really gets how much I'm doing, who I am, and is willing to support me and be there with me no matter what.
Mm. So are you saying like a self-confidence piece that sort of erodes?
Yeah, I think a piece, I think it's women just saying, coming to me and saying, I want my husband to feel like I want to feel confident that my husband.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're also saying is they just want acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think acknowledgement and confidence.
I see.
Yeah.
Right, that impacts the relationship if you feel like you're being seen. If you don't feel like you're being appreciated or acknowledged, then detrimental.
Right, or if you're getting like too much like negative feedback or like, oh, this, you know, this was
criticism.
This fish was really just too salty. Mm-hmm. So if you're like in a good place in your marriage, you're like, oh, okay, I'll use less salt next time. But if you're not confident, you're like, nothing I do is ever good enough, and why is it always criticism, and like, this is like, you know, killing me inside, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely see that women, you know, certain women, I think there's some women put themselves up and in a superior position to their husbands and look down at them and be like, why can't you change? Mm. And I also see the other way around, that women put themselves lower and are like, I'm never going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. I can't. So I see both directions.
And these three issues, do you see it across the board in terms of the length of a marriage, or are some of these more prevalent with newlyweds versus people who've been married for 30 years?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I feel like majority of my clientele are ones married longer. I did run one program a while back for newlyweds, but in general, the people that are just showing up and are attracted to the type of work that I do and my program are more, you know, women married 10, I don't know, over 5 years, mm-hmm. at least, I would say. But yeah, I would say across the board. Mm-hmm. I have women that I work with who are in their 70s. Wow. And
that's so inspiring. I know,
right? Yeah, it is. It's actually really inspiring because these are women who are so committed to turning things around, even at this, you know, or making things better even at that at that place. So yeah, I think these issues are across the board.
Wow. And I just want to say before we move on, like you said, turning things around and making things better. Like, it may not be that we need to change something that's wrong, but we all want to improve. I think whatever we do, we would love to have skills that can make things better. So if like we learn things that can improve something that already is good, I think is super, super valuable too.
Yeah. And a lot of the women that I work with are you know, are in, I think many women that join my programs are women that are in good places, but they're very good, you know, very growth oriented right. people that want to nice. Really just know what there is more to be. And because there's yeah. always more.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is great.
Let's take a break to tell you more about our sponsors. Town Appliance is the go-to appliance store, having served thousands of customers since 1979. You can visit their beautiful showrooms in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore, and they also ship. And you'll get the same personalized customer service they're known for, whether you shop online or call. They'll walk you through the process step-by-step to meet your appliance needs. Visit their website at townappliance.com. Town Appliance, the obvious choice.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about our episode sponsor, Labeland. So labels aren't just for kids. If you've got stuff and you want it better organized, labels are a great help. And I love being organized, and I love labels, and I love Labeland. So this is just hitting all the points for me. If you have multiple family members and they're not sure just whose stuff is whose, like you buy like, you know, a couple packs of water bottles at Costco, they look the same, and your kids are like, is this mine? Is this my right. brother's? Well, there's a way to solve that. You use Labeland labels, and then they all have their names on the water bottles. I actually have a story about this where we had used our Labeland labels to put on our water bottles, and one of my kids left their water bottle in like a park, and I got a text because I had put my cell phone on the label, and I got this random text: hey, I found this water bottle in the park, I'm putting it by the bench if you want to come and get it. And I was like, so amazing.
Nice. Wow. So that I gotta put helpful. The phone number on the labels, because I don't do that. That's yeah, a good idea.
It's very helpful. I put a last name and the phone number for a lot of, for just like family stuff. And yeah. then for if it's a kid specifically for camp and stuff, then I put the first name and the last name and the phone number.
Smart.
Yes. Okay. Anyways, so like we can definitely, it can be sounding a bit like labels for label. Everyone has a labeled thing, but I love it because it makes it so easy and it makes it so organized. And Labeland has a huge selection of labels that you didn't even know you needed. They have the ones definitely that you do need, even if you didn't realize, they have it. So go to their website and see what they have. They come in a variety of styles, shapes, sizes. They're dishwasher safe, dryer safe, waterproof, and non-toxic. They last beautifully. So check out their famous stick and wear labels that work for clothing and for anything that you really need. Please see our show notes for a link and the special coupon code DMC for 10% off. So we've heard about some of the issues. Now let's talk about some of the tools
yeah.
that you use to help make these internal shifts and then help women get to the place that they want to be, or closer at least.
Okay. So yeah, the tools are many and varied. So I can't go into all of them right now.
Right,
but
right, fair.
I think the general paradigm that I use is the idea of two circles and two worlds and intersecting at a certain point. So we have my world and me understanding what's inside of that. So my own emotions, my own desires, my own relationships with each child or my relationships with friends, all of those things, my well-being. And then we have my husband's world. And it's and he has all those things also. So, and it's really a woman understanding what's in her world, how to take really good care of her world, and how to hold space for her husband's world. And I love reading this definition that I use sometimes to describe holding space, because I feel like it points to a lot of what I do. And this is what it is. Holding space means that we're willing to walk alongside another person in whatever journey they are on without judging them, making them feel inadequate, trying to fix them, or trying to impact the outcome. Hmm. And that's huge. And a lot of the tools that I do, I mean, how do we let go of judgment? How do we stop trying to fix them? How do we just walk alongside them and let them be who they are and struggle when they're struggling and let them have their emotional experience and let them make their own choices and when it impacts us? So a lot of the tools that I sort of come out of that paradigm where we look at what's in my world. And what, you know, we focus a lot on what are my desires, what are my emotions, what tools can I use to handle those, to hold them, to be okay with them, as opposed to throwing them on our husbands. So if I'm not happy, it's because he didn't make me happy and all those sort of things. So one tool that I just would love to share with the audience here is there's so much power in being able to change our complaints and what's not going well into our desires. Mm. So complaints and desire are really this different sides of the same coin.
So
it's the same thing. So when women come to me and say, I just had a woman yesterday, I think, who said to me, he stays a long time in shul after shul. The kids are waiting for him, and then he rushes through the meal, right? So that was her complaint. Mm. And when I said, what do you want? She was able to say, I really want to have good family time together. Mm. And the difference for ourselves in being able to shift from complaints to desires is huge inside of our own well-being, because when we sit in what's not right and we focus on that, we feel bad. We bring more of that. What we focus on increases. When we're able to really shift into what we want, we come to a lighter place, and then we can express that to our husbands. And instead of it feeling like criticism, you never come home on time, the kids were waiting so long, not very effective. But when we can actually just say, I'd love to have a longer Shabbos Suda where we all spend good time together, that often can create a whole different situation.
So powerful. It's so simple. Yeah. I never thought of it.
Yeah, it's so I really encourage women, and I would encourage all the women here, just as they go through the day and something's not right, and it could just be, it's so hot in here, for them to be able to flip it over and say, I'd love to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Or to be cooler. Mm-hmm. And I do this with my kids all the time. They say, there's no snacks in the house. And I say, that doesn't give me any information about how to help you, how to make this better. Tell me what you would like. And then I can go buy it for you. I can do it. So it's something we sort of need to rewire our brains.
Yeah.
to be able to do that.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to be going around now thinking about, like, what do I desire?
So that's one thing. Another huge paradigm that I use is this idea of provider and receiver. And I spent a long time in my journey and my research trying to understand what that really is about, because when I first heard it, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, I was the one doing everything, so taking care of everything, where was I the receiver? But as I've learned more about it, And we explore this much more and how this actually plays into marriages practically. Something that a very powerful tool that I share with women is that if they can start noticing what their husband is doing for them. So I had a client who, again, came with this issue of, I do so much. She wasn't even mad at her husband. Like, he worked, he was providing for the family, but she just felt so alone. And she wanted to feel like he was a partner, like she had a team. And so she started just with this exercise of noticing throughout the day, what did he do for me? So it could be he went and dropped a kid off at playgroup. It could be he took out the garbage. It could be he went out to work to provide money. And it could be as simple as she's holding the baby and he's crying and her husband comes over and takes him, right? So it could be these little things. And I ask women to start noticing them and then asking themselves some questions. So those questions are really important, because women will say, oh, I do say thank you to my husband. I do appreciate him. But there's a whole nother level when we can ask ourselves these questions. And the questions are, why is this meaningful to me, what he did? How did it make a difference in my life? How does it make me feel? And when we can start internalizing that, the way we feel towards our husband really completely changes. And I actually want to bring out this point, because it's so important that we recognize our relationships with our husbands are really just a microcosm of our relationship with Hashem. Mm-hmm. And so people can use this also when they just want to move to a better understanding and appreciation and open up to receiving more from Hashem. So I remember when I was a teenager and I used to keep a appreciation journal where, every day I would write one or three things, I can't remember, that I wanted to thank Hashem for. And at that point, I think it was still pretty superficial. So I might say, thank you, Hashem, for my eyes that I could see, or something like that. But when I learned this tool and I stopped and said to myself, why does it make a difference to me that I can see? Why is that meaningful to me? And I stopped for a minute and I thought about how much joy I get from seeing my children's faces. Mm. And I'm one of those people that loves taking pictures of just the face, you know, and that expression of the face. And just how much joy when I focus on that I get. And all of a sudden, being able to see has a whole different level of meaning to me than just thank you, Hashem, that I can see. Because now it's what's important to me, what makes a difference to me. So I find that same thing. When women start doing that with their husbands, and it's just an internal process. The first step is not even saying anything to their husbands. Mm. Eventually, there's more steps to the process. But it's just doing that internally themselves. Let me stop for a minute. Let me notice something he already did for me today. And why that made a difference to me, why that makes my life better. And they start doing that inside, it just completely opens up that perspective and that flow for more and more things their husband is going to provide and give to them. Wow. So, yeah. I actually had a woman who was doing some private coaching, and this was the woman who wanted to feel like more of a team, more. And she, within 6 weeks of really, like, she came in so sad that she was, you know, all alone. And 6 weeks later, after going through this tool and some of the other tools, she just said to me, my husband is doing so much for me. Oh. He's, you know, like, she just felt so completely different.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And in turn, was seeing a difference in her husband.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something actually that's important for me to note is what happens in this process for women is, I think, twofold. They feel differently about what's going on in their marriages by doing their internal work and creating shifts. And then they see a lot of external change also. So it really impacts what's actually happening.
Because I think, you know, in a marriage, you really can't hide how you're feeling. Like, you think you can, but your spouse knows, even without you needing to say. And we, you know, vice versa. So I think what's so fascinating about what you're saying is this, you need to talk a lot about, like, this inner work and internalizing. That's just going to naturally impact how you're feeling. And those vibes, your spouse is going to feel from you, completely different vibes.
Yeah, it was actually something I was thinking about a lot recently because one of my clients said to me, what do I say? How could I have said that differently to get a different result? And I said, it's not about what you say. Mm. I could give you the right words, but if inside you're like, you can say, I'm sorry, but if inside you're feeling lots of judgment for him being upset about what you did, then those words aren't going to help because he energetically feels what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So that is really the basis of a huge amount of my work.
Wow. Is your work based on a particular model, you know, of coaching or marriage education?
Yeah, so it's really collected from all over. Mm-hmm. So I learned, you know, when I certified as a life coach, I learned tools from Dina Friedman, and then I've continued training with so many different, you know, different modalities, and I just keep collecting and, you know, seeing what's most effective and what works best.
Okay, so tell us, like, what, you obviously are very passionate about this. What is your, like, favorite and most fulfilling aspect of the work that you do?
So my favorite aspect for sure is watching women have these experiences. And I can just see it on their faces when they move, you know, when we use a tool and they move, let's say, from judgment to compassion. Mm. Or, I mean, to me, that's a moment of them, like, touching their soul. It's unbelievable. Like, when I can, or I, you know, and then they share with me the aftermath of what that, you know, what happened in their relationship. So I had one woman who was actually, this was a mentor. And so when I do the mentorship training, I have the women go through the tools themselves because I feel like they can only share with other people as far as they've, you know, experienced it themselves. Yeah. And so with them, sometimes they share about another relationship as opposed to their marriage. So I had a woman working on a judgment of her mother, and she just was so judgmental for so many years. I mean, we're talking about probably 20, 30 years where she'd held this judgment of how critical her mother was. And when she was able to use one of the tools that I guided her through and move to this place of seeing how she also sometimes gets so stuck in relationships and gets really critical. And it's not because she's a bad person, but just because sometimes we get stuck. and were human. And she was able to see her mother in that way. And I watched. She was in a group and we all watched her, like, this transformation within minutes come over her. It's wow. so fulfilling. And wow. and then she was able to share with us the following week how she had gone to, I think, a wedding with her mother and was standing next to her by the chuppah, and her mother had taken her shawl and put it around her shoulder. And whereas in the past she never would have been able to, like, feel that as a gesture of closeness or connection, because she had done this work, she was able to experience that in a totally different way.
Wow.
No, so it impacts our relationships.
Yeah. So, I mean, the work can impact any relationship, but as I see these shifts happening and watching people go through them, and then that the ripple effect and how that's, I'll share with you something a client shared with me this morning. She said to me, for years she had told her husband that when he leaves her, like, a little note of appreciation, that would mean so much to her. He had never done it. And so a few weeks ago she shared with me that she had received her that morning. Her husband had left her a note. He goes to sleep later and wakes up, you know, she's the one up early. So she had come down to the breakfast table and he had left her something. And she was really touched. And then we talked about how sort of this concept about how to share with him, what a difference that makes and how she feels about that. And she shared with me that today that she had gotten another 3 notes in the last couple weeks.
Because she told him.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think that initial one probably came from some of the work that we had been doing and how she had been softening. And then because I think she had expressed to him how, what a difference it made. And he, you know, he really wanted, I believe men really want to make us happy.
Yeah. Sometimes we make it hard for them.
Yes. Yeah. I know this isn't going to be good for my press, but I do feel like often, I'm not saying there are difficult men, but often, I don't know, the women's are the harder nuts to crack sometimes.
We're just so much more, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I feel like women are very emotionally complex.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. It's amazing how marriage works at all, honestly, when you think about it. But
not a joke. Not a joke. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about how you've worked with other coaches and, you know, training people who already have some training. So how did you get into it? Like, how did you find the coaches to even train? How'd that happen? And then what have you learned from your experience of training people who are training people? That's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. So I think, like I said in the beginning, I think my motivation to do it was because I wanted women to sort of be able to go to the people that they're already turning to and get the help that they, you know, instead of having to travel to so many people. Like I turned to my college teacher and that wasn't helpful to me. And then I just really wanted to give the tools to the women to help others right away. And in terms of technically how that started, so I had one woman who's a friend of mine who knew about my work, connected me with Aliza Bulow, who trains mentors. She was very interested in my work, and she had me come and talk to her group of mentors, and many of them joined the program, including herself. And that was one way I started. That was those were a couple of my first cohorts. And then the word really just got out, and different, you know, Rebbetzin's therapists, influencers, coaches, just started hearing about me, and I was able to run a number of other cohorts that year that I started. This was 2 years ago that I started training. And then I decided to just do that once a year so that I wasn't continuously opening cohorts. So my next cohort is actually going to be opening at the end of June. So that now it's a once a year opportunity to be able to. So when people ask me about it, they just get on my wait list and then I can do the training for them. Yeah.
Nice. And I guess, like, is there anything that you found from that experience? You work with them, you teach them the tools, which I think makes so much sense, so they can really give them over. How is it different from working with women who are not in a mentorship position?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. It really isn't so different in the end, because we all have our own stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So whether we need to work on our own marriages, which many people do or want to, as we said, continue to grow and make it better. So I really run my mentorship training program similar as I do to my other programs, because I want the women to go through the tools themselves, to implement themselves, to be able to see the shifts so that they can help other people. So in truth, we're all human beings and we're all, you know, striving to grow. And I think what I've seen is that's so amazing is that these women that are in, you know, real leadership positions are still willing to get in there and do their own work. Mm. And it's beautiful for me to be able to see that and how willing they are to, you know, continue to experiment with different things. Some of them are, you know, very trained. I've trained therapists who've been working as therapists for many years. Wow. And they're just interested in learning other ideas, other perspectives, other tools.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it's also amazing that you have this connection with college teachers, because there's just such that dynamic. It's so important that those women have these tools too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, if you could just sort of boil down the one thing that you wish everybody would know about marriage, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, that's impossible. The one thing, I prepared like 3 or 4. I thought you were going to ask that question.
Give them all to us.
Okay, so one thing that I want to say is that there aren't mistakes. Like Hashem put us with our husbands. None of us made a mistake. It's not possible. Our husbands are supposed to push our buttons to help us to grow. And almost all healthy marriages have a good share of their own distress. So you're normal if you sometimes feel hurt, if you feel resentful, if you feel annoyed, you feel lonely, you feel disconnected. It doesn't really mean anything about you or your husband, about your marriage. It's just the way it's an incubator. Mm. That's marriage is an incubator for our own growth. And it's about our journey in this world. So our husbands are there to, you know, push us. Hmm. And our marriages are there to push us. So that's one thing. I think the other thing that I want to share is, with proper understanding and perspective and support and tools, there really is a system for things to get better. And I don't want women to ever give up hope. Hmm. Because no matter how challenging things are, as you grow yourself, and I think some women feel so dependent on their husbands to be willing to go get the help in order to create change in their marriage. And I want women to know that they can find help even if their husbands aren't willing to go for help, or have tried going for help and have left that and are not willing to go back. That's a common scenario. So they can still have the marriage that they would love to have by doing their own inner growth.
Hmm. Wow. That's a real paradigm shift, right? Because you think, like, he's the one with the problem. He should go to therapy, you know? But yeah. It's pretty amazing.
And I guess the last thing that I want to share is, I just feel like there are universal laws of how marriage, how Hashem created the world and how marriages are set up to work well. And often we don't know them. So this reminds me of when my first daughter was born and she cried and cried and cried for the first year of her life. And I had no idea how to make it better. And as in many years later with one of my other children, I learned about sleep and how much sleep newborns need and how they can only be up for like a 45 minute awake time in order to be able to get the sleep that, you know, to be happy and content and the sleep that they need. And it was just some pieces of information about the way Hashem created newborns that I didn't have. And then it was a disaster. And so sometimes I feel with marriages also like that, that like there are paradigms and rules and that make and law, universal laws about how men work, about how women work, about how marriages are supposed to work, that people just don't even know. Mm. And if they have that understanding and that information, a lot can change.
Love that. Wow. Yeah. Well, I have a full page of notes here. really benefited so much from the CMC. And I know, of course, our audience has for sure. If people want to reach out to you or get in touch with you, what is your best recommendation how people can find you?
Yeah. So if they go to my website, which is RifkiGardner.com, Rifki is spelled very unique. I'm going to spell it for you because I'm the only Rifki in the world spelled like this. So it's R-I-V-K-E. Justin E. And then Gardner, Gardner www.thebestofyourself.com. So they can, and I would encourage women to sign up. On the bottom of my website is a way to sign up for weekly emails that give marriage tips and information. People have found it very, very helpful. And that way they'll also get all the information about the different workshops I'm running, the different trainings I'm doing. And in terms of the mentorship training or when the marriage transformation training opens up, they'll have all that information and it's all on my website. They can also reach out to me via email, which is info@rifkigardner.com.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that with everyone. And thank you, Rifki, so much for having this DMC with us. It's been so amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you guys. So this is fun.
That was just as good as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really loved about our conversation with Rifki was the candor that she used in describing her feelings and her marriage in those early years. Like, it was just so refreshing, you know, like I don't know how to, my words are failing me, but I appreciated the candor. And then sometimes, like, you know, when we are able to be vulnerable, like she was, and say like, no, these are the unpleasant feelings I'm having, and this is the resentment that I'm having or whatever, it can just like lift the burden off of someone else who might be feeling those feelings and feeling shame about those feelings when it's just really like you don't have the tools yet.
Right. And she said it's very normal. And that to normalize and hear someone publicly talk about it, like there's no shame. There's no shame involved then.
Exactly. It's okay. Like, and here's some tools to make it better.
Exactly.
And also just the internal shifts leading the external actions. Mm. You know, I like that because sometimes, you know, if we are in a rut or in a place in our marriage and like if only this external thing would happen, then things would get better. And it's like, no. We have it within ourselves to change. We have it within ourselves to make a difference. And it's not dependent on something else outside of us happening, because that can feel so deflating or discouraging or depressing, like that you waiting for something else outside of you to happen, like hello,
right?
Like you don't have control over that.
and also like waiting for your spouse to make the change, I think that requires huge emotional strength to acknowledge and say, you know what, I can't expect him to change, but I can change. And I think that key is like so hard, because it's like, but why should I do it?
Why, right, exactly.
You know, I think like if, and I'd imagine that's where the coaching comes in, is like the tools to actually make that mindset shift. And like she uses this phrase, like paradigm shift, to know that, wait, you can do some small things and you'll see it's going to make a huge difference for both of you.
Right, exactly. And to make the changes just for the sake of making the changes, not even because like, oh, I want X to happen, so I'm going to do this internal shift to get this result, but like the inherent value in doing this internal work. Mm-hmm. And then, hold on, I'm seeing what else I have in the copious notes that I took here. And just the concept of marriage being an incubator for our growth. Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, just because there's struggle doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. This is part of the process. We're two different people living together and raising a family together, or just existing together and running a house together. It's like, it's inherently stressful, and it's a great opportunity to work on ourselves. And I love that, like that paradigm shift, because otherwise it can be like, oh, it's so hard or frustrating or whatever negative feeling it is at the moment, but like, no, this is part of the process. Like, it's growth, and growth is can be painful, but like ultimately when you get to the other side of the pain, it's like, ah, geschmack.
Yeah. And she has so many stories to share of seeing it firsthand. It must be very powerful and affirming for her to see how this has improved women's marriages. So also lots to say, but if I could sort of whittle it down, I am so grateful that she shared tools with us. And even in this just short conversation, I think there are some real like mind shifting, mind bending ideas that it's like, oh, okay. So that one about switching a complaint to a request, I'm sure you heard me on that episode. I was like, that's very cool. It's just brilliant. I just love that idea. And other tools like holding space or acknowledging there are these two worlds.
Yeah.
These are huge ideas that are so helpful. And that's what she's talking about, this like internal work. I really value that. And finally, just at the end, her messaging to us that, you know, there aren't mistakes. It's normal to feel hurt or disconnected. And finally, that there's a system for things to get better. You just may need information that you just don't have access to, but you can do it. Don't feel hopeless.
Yeah.
So for anyone's listening who's dealing with something small or something significant, like, there's really no reason for us to be wallowing and or stuck, but there are resources and help available. Even if your husband's not willing to look for them, you can. And I'm just very grateful to be able to share this with everybody.
I love that, yeah. Before we say goodbye, a big thank you to Town Appliance, and also a plug that you don't have to visit a showroom, whether it's because you don't live near one or if it's just more convenient to shop online because it's hard to get out of the house sometimes. You don't have to go to a showroom to get the kind of amazing customer service Town Appliance is known for. Town Appliance customer service representatives are available to walk you through the whole process over the phone. You'll also want to check out their website, townappliance.com, to see the models for yourself, so that we have all that information ready for you, including their phone number, in our show notes so you can go check it out.
A final word from our episode sponsor, Labeland. If you're packing for a trip this summer, or packing a kid or two for camp, you know that you need labels, and we have the perfect place for you to get them from, Labeland. If you haven't ordered yet, don't fret. It may not be too late. Orders ship next business day. So some people are those like stick and wear types. Other prefer iron-on. I'm team stick and wear. What about you?
I've tried both, and I do like the stick and wear, I have to say.
Especially when it goes on fabric. Like, why not? It stays.
100%. It's so easy. It's great.
So whatever your preference, it's available at Labeland. They have a huge variety of sizes, colors, and styles to meet your label sticking needs. Because you want the stuff you're taking with you to come back with you. And if you've got kids, you've got to up the chances of getting anything back with a good solid set of name labels with their phone numbers. And thank you, Rifki. I'll do that next year. So keep the stuff you love. Order your labels today. We've got you 10% off with the coupon code DMC. You'll find the link to Labeland as well as contact information and that coupon code in our show notes.
Here's this episode's takeaway. How we feel internally makes all the difference. Rifki mentioned a number of paradigm shifts we could use to improve our marriage. The idea of holding space, expressing a complaint as a desire, and noticing what your husband is providing and then recognizing it, recognizing why it matters. Pick the one you like the best and try it out.
Well, we know you've stayed to the very end to hear who we are DMCing with next episode. Our guest will be Sarah Blau, who's all about inspiration for the busy Jewish woman, very on brand for DMC. Well, she's author of 29 books, which neither of us can attest to.
No.
And we're going to be talking to her about one of her favorite parts of life, and that is tefillah, prayer. So we hope you join us.
If you're a new listener, we are so happy to have you here. Please subscribe, rate, and review DMC on whatever platform you're listening to this episode now. We read all our reviews and appreciate them greatly. If you'd like to share feedback, process your thoughts after the episode, or just reach out to say hi, you can email us at dmcthepodcast@gmail.com or message us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. See you next episode.